Why do we do the things that we do? For example, do you always put on your right sock first and then your left sock? I see some of you reaching down to see which one you do. You probably do it without thinking every day, but most of us are in the habit and we do. Ladies, when you put on your earrings, you put on earrings, is it right earring first and then left earring? Think about it. Do you always sleep on the right-hand side of the bed or always on the left-hand side of the bed? And when you go somewhere else on holiday, is it always the same? You always have to sleep on the same side of the bed that you sleep on when you're at home. Why do we put on our Sunday best to come to church? Is it really very important that we do that? Does it really matter in the big scheme of things? Do we always sit in the same pew every week, same side of the church every week? I had a theory in Anna Long that the people who sat on the Newcastle side of the church all lived on that side, and the people who sat on the Kilkeel side all came from that side. So you can think about whether you fit into that pattern here in Kilkeel or not. Why did I put on my clerical collar this morning? Because lifetime of habit. I always do it when I'm going to preach somewhere. Other people don't. Stephen doesn't. But I did it automatically without thinking. Just went for my collar, put it on this morning because I've done it for so many years. So many of our actions are habits or traditions. And of course, Christmas time is a time that's full of so many family traditions for us all. Do we always hang up our stockings in the same places? Do we always put out the mince pie and the drink and the carrot for any visitors that might come in the night? Around Christmas time, there's the tradition that we visit certain members of our family or our friends, maybe even on the same day, maybe always on Christmas Day or Boxing Day, or even on this first Sunday of, this last Sunday of the year. I've noticed here and in other places, always the last Sunday of the year, people obviously go and visit elsewhere because they're not in their normal place in church. Or sometimes, if there's no Sunday school on, parents maybe take it as a wee bit of a holiday off church as well. And so there are always people who are missing on this particular Sunday of the year. Why do we do the things that we do? There was a good advert on some of the TV channels recently. Some of you may have seen it, as I did, for Yves Saint Laurent's new fragrance, male fragrance called Y, the letter Y. It's called Y. It features Loyal Carner. I didn't know who he was, but he's an English hip-hop musician. Some of the younger people probably know all about him. And we're going to see the words just, I hope, up on the screen, maybe now. I hope. Maybe. Or maybe not. I'll tell you what the words are anyway. Here's what the script says on that particular advert. Why makes everything possible? Why follow old paths when I can create new ones? There they are, the words. Why have dreams if I can't fulfill them? Why is not a weakness, it's a strength? Why can break down walls, can build new worlds? The more I ask why, the more I dare to become. Everything starts with a why, which leads us into the next slide. The message really stuck in my head. Everything starts with a why. W-H-Y this time. So let's ask ourselves a few why questions this morning as we come to the end of this year and as we look forward to a new year coming. And there's the first question. It's on the screen. Why is the Christmas story so important? I read this story about a lady just a week or two ago. This is the story as I read it. A woman whose husband died 6 months before Christmas sat down to write out a Christmas card to a close friend. This is what she wrote. Some have tried to prepare me, saying, "This first Christmas without your husband will be hard for you." She continued, "It will be, of course. But without Christmas, my life would be impossible." At the time of her husband's death, the woman thought that God had turned out all the lights. It's as if everything had gone dark for her. But then she began to think about the Christmas message. It reminded her that God had reached out into our world and had turned on the light through his Son. The light is here in the world for all time, for all people. Emmanuel has come, and that means that we can know God with us in all the circumstances of life, even in our darkest times. Without Christmas, she said, my life would be impossible. That's a different kind of insight, isn't it, into the Christmas story. It really does matter that God so loved the world that he sent his Son into it. It really matters that Jesus is the Savior who can deal with my guilt and my shame, who can remove that awful stain of sin from my life, who can forgive me for all my wrongdoing. It really matters that God has become incarnate in Jesus, that he's real, that he's a living person, that we can bring our lives to him, that we can bring him into our lives as a person, bring him into our lives full of all their anxieties and struggles and worries and fears, that we can have God with us every single day of life, whether times are hard or whether times are easy. We can find a peace that passes all understanding, even in the darkest of times. John tells us in his gospel that Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth, and we need both grace and truth for our lives. We need his saving grace. Obviously, we need that grace that brings forgiveness to us and assurance, the forgiveness and assurance that we certainly never deserve. And we need his sustaining grace day by day by day, the help that we need to deal with all of life's problems and struggles and difficulties, especially, as the woman said, in the toughest of times in life. Without Christmas, my life would be impossible. And the flip side of that truth is, with Christ, we can find the words that we were just singing a moment or two ago, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. All the truth of Christ is significant and important for your life and mine. And so it's wonderful news that Jesus Christ is full of grace and full of truth. So why is the Christmas story so important? It's important because it tells us that you and I matter to God. He loves us so much that he was willing to give his Son for us. Give him not only to be born into the world, but in the end, give him to die on a cross for our sins. And so do you see how this nativity story is important to us? Not only at Christmas time, but all the year round. Everything starts with a why. Why should God care so much for me? Here's the second why then. Why is worshipping the King of Kings so important? I read the story the other day. A wife remarked to her husband after the church service, "Did you see the hat Mrs. Jones was wearing?" "No," said her husband, "I didn't." "Did you see the new dress Mrs. Smith had on?" "I'm afraid I didn't," said the husband. To this, his wife replied, "Well, a lot of good it does you to go to church." Now, we can smile and have a bit of a laugh about a story like that. Yet for some people, isn't that what going to church is about? That's experience a little bit like that. It's about going to see and to be seen. It's about going to have a chat with your friends. It's about going to hear the latest news. It's about going out of habit. It's about going out of curiosity. A new person in the pulpit today, wonder what will be said. And sometimes we do lose sight of what we really come here to do. We come to this meeting house or some other meeting house regularly. We come because it is a place of worship. We come to do what the wise men did. We come to bow down and worship him, the one who was born into our world to be our Savior. We don't think enough about it. And they brought their gifts to this newborn king. And we've brought our gifts today. We've put some money in the plate. I trust we bring more than that. We bring our thanks. We bring our praise. We bring our hearts and our lives. We come to do what the wise men did. And I don't think we really think enough about the effort and the sacrifice that those wise men made. Traveling many hundreds of miles, not an easy journey, giving up precious time, costing them a lot of money, obviously, to finance their way on that journey. And why? Why make that journey? Why follow that star? They were determined. Nothing, no one, not even Herod, would keep them from seeking and finding and honoring that special king. Why do it? Why make that sacrifice? They would have said, what could be more important than finding this king and worshipping him. And maybe you and I need that reminder from time to time. In an age when Sunday worship is not the thing that it used to be, we need to remember why we make time to come to a place like this. We come to worship the one who is the King of Kings. We come to worship the one through whom the worlds were made. We come to worship the one who is the light of the world, the one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We come to worship the one who described himself as the Good Shepherd, the one who laid down his life for the sheep. We come to worship the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, without whom we cannot know God, without whom we cannot be saved, without whom we cannot have hope of heaven. So what could be more important than worshipping him? Surely not having a Sunday morning lie-in because we're tired after a busy week. Surely not to go to the golf course or to go for a walk in the mountains, good as those things may be. Surely not to go shopping because the other 6 days we haven't had enough time to do that. Surely not to catch up on our housework or our homework or our DIY work. Nothing is more important than worshipping him. And when we worship him, then we see things that we would not otherwise see. We begin to understand truths that we might not otherwise grasp. Bishop Ryle was the 19th century Bishop of Liverpool. He wrote a commentary on all the Gospels, and he's given us one quote, and the words are going to go on the screens for us. Here's what he wrote. The vast majority of people neither see nor understand the value of their souls, the true nature of God, nor the reality of the world to come. The vast majority of people neither see nor understand the value of their souls, the true nature of God, nor the reality of the world to come. Now, if that was true back then in the 19th century, isn't it even more true today? Do we think enough about the value of our soul? Do we think enough about the true nature of God? Do we think enough about the reality of the world to come? At least when we come to a place of worship Sunday by Sunday, as we listen to the Word of God, as we hear its message explained, we are reminded of these important truths that we would not, in the normal world, be thinking about at all. As another new year beckons, and it's not very far away now, are we ready to make a fresh commitment to worshipping the one who is the King of Kings Sunday by Sunday? It is important for us, and it's also a witness to a careless world. Some of you may remember the story. I think I told it at some of the special services that we have, January time of the year, a few years ago. This is the way the story goes. It's a story about an elderly Christian man. His sight was poor. He couldn't hear at all. He was very arthritic. He found it difficult to get about. But he made it his business to walk to church every Sunday, Bible in hand. Someone asked him, "Why do you do it? You can't hear what's being said when you get there. You haven't got the eyesight even to read the Bible that you're carrying with you. Why do you do it?" Do you know what he said? He said, "I want everyone to know whose side I'm on." It was his way of saying, personal act of testimony every Sunday, walking to church, his neighbors could see. I want them to know whose side I'm on. I want them to know that I belong to Jesus Christ. I want them to know that he's important to me. And not my arthritis, nor my dullness of hearing, nor my inability to see is going to keep me from worshipping him. I wonder how many of us think that way. Why do we do the things that we do? There's always a reason. And why is worshipping the King of Kings so important? Well, because it's important and it's right to honour him. And it's also important because it's a blessing to our own souls and it's a testimony to a careless world outside. Here's the third why. Why is my life so important. What do you think your life is worth? Do you know that slaves are still bought and sold in different parts of the world today? I read this the other day. In 1850, the average slave in the American South cost the equivalent of $40,000 in today's money. But a slave in today's world in 2017 costs an average of just $90. That's about £67 across our world today. The value of a person, £67, bought and sold. Isn't that desperately sad? Everybody's worth life is worth so much more than that, including your life and mine. But why? Why is our life important? Why is it valuable? I want to give you four reasons as to why our life is so very important to us. And this is on the last slide. First of all, because I am God's creation. I brought with me a couple of 20-pound notes, brand new print 20-pound notes. There they are. Set one down there. Here's the second one. If I offered you one of those, which would you take? I would think most of you would be reaching for this one, not that one. But which is worth more? They're both worth exactly the same. Even the one that's crumpled up and spat upon, and if this was outside, dirty because of the dirt of the ground, both worth exactly the same. And that's true about everybody's life as well. You and I are valuable, even though life may have stained us and dirtied us and affected us in different ways. We're worth just as much to God today as the day we were born. We are His special creation. We bear His image, and therefore we have a worth and a dignity that no one can take away from us. And so if you feel a little bit crumpled and damaged and dirty today, take heart that God doesn't look at you that way. He sees you as of extreme value. And in 2018, you will just be as valuable to God as on that day when your mother gave birth to you. No matter what baggage you feel you carry in your life, you're worth just what you always were worth. You are God's creation. We each one are. Secondly, our life is important and valuable because it is God's gift to us. When we get a gift at Christmas time, you know what it's like. We've all been doing it. We want that. When we give it, we want it to be valued. We want it to be used. We don't want it to be wasted. We don't want it to be thrown away. We don't want it to be misused. We want it to be valued. Well, our life is God's gift to us, His personal gift to you and to me day by day. Here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. You, Lord, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And so every day, every week, every year is God's gift to you and to me. Doesn't that make it something important? We think about that empty box that we're going to fill from today onwards. Thirdly, our life is important because I have opportunities to use my life in His service. Our shorter catechism is a constant reminder to us, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Our life is given to us for what reason? Why? So that we can glorify God. We glorify most when we choose to serve Him, when we choose to honour His Son. So tomorrow, of course, is the first day of a new year. Are you and I ready to choose to take each day's opportunities to serve Him? whether that's in your home, principally, or for some of us in our churches, or in the wider community, are we going to choose to serve him day by day by day? And if you've never, ever made that choice before, why not start now? The advert I quoted said, "Why follow old paths when I can create new ones?" Sometimes we need to abandon the old paths to get onto the path that God wants us to take. Whatever paths we find ourselves in, it's our choice. Do I serve him, or do I just follow my own agenda and serve myself? Fourthly, my life is important because one day I will be answerable for it. The parable of the talents should make us all think, am I like the man who hid the talent entrusted to him and lost everything? Or am I like one of the men who used the talents he was given and was blessed, was rewarded for so doing? The parable reminds us that each of us is answerable to the king. And that makes our life extremely important as we think that one day we will have to give account for how we've used our time. Even in that Yves Saint Laurent advert, there is food for thought. Why follow old paths when I can create new ones? Why have dreams if I can't fulfill them? Why is not a weakness, it's a strength? Why can break down walls? Why can build new worlds? The more I ask why, the more I dare to become. And I would add my bit to that. The more I dare to become the person God wants me to be. Everything starts with a why. So why not start the new year on a new path with Christ? Perhaps even for someone here today, on a new path with a new Saviour and a new Lord to serve. Just like the wise men at that first Christmas, coming, finding the newborn king, and going away, their life, I'm sure, never, ever the same again. And when they travelled home, and when people asked them, why did you bother? Why did you go all that long way? You've been away so long. Why did you do it? They would have said, it was worth it all, because we found him, the King of Kings. And it changes everything. May we also have a story to tell. That we find the King of Kings. And he makes all the difference to our lives, even in those tough times of life. It's good to know that we have Emmanuel with us. I trust you will have your story to tell of the difference the King of Kings makes in your life, day by day. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the journey those wise men made, the sacrifice, the effort, all to find the King who was born. And we thank you that when they came, they bowed down, they worshipped him, they brought their gifts. And Father, we pray that we might be like them, that having discovered who the King of Kings is, that it will make all the difference in our lives, that we'll want to worship and serve him, that we want to offer our talents, our gifts to him, so that he might use them. May we see every day you give us as a gift from you to be used and for which we're answerable. And so, Father, bless your word to each of us. May the Christmas story be something that's not only important at this time of year, but all the year round, to know that we matter to you, matter so much that you sent your Son to be our Saviour, our Lord, our King. And may we reflect often on how the King gave his life for us on the cross to purchase that salvation that each of us needs. So, Father, may we have a story to tell, and give us the grace that we need day by day to live out that story in our lives, for we ask it for our Saviour's sake. Amen. Our closing hymn then is, "From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live."